Welcome in, Judd's Hockey Show. Let's see here. It's Zolgad and Declan Goff. There is 1:57 left right now as I watch on my computer. It's Vegas 6-2 over the Wild in Game 7. And, you know, sometimes it's time to celebrate, and sometimes it's time to drown sorrows.
A little so, Irish wake. Irish wake, they like to call that in my
Is opinion. That what it is? Okay.
Yep,
well, it's
Irish
the latter.
Wake.
It's, a it's the latter. Drowning sorrows is the thing. A lot to talk about off this game. Unfortunately, much of it not good, not a positive, as the Wild season is going to come to an end here in about a minute and 20. And as I said, the Golden Knights up 6-2. Should we gather the room first, Dex? Do you want to tell people how they can get involved? And then we'll give our thoughts while we compile the room?
Absolutely. So,
all right.
Season's about to end here, folks. I love keeping the faith. You know, hashtag faith, as they like to say on some shows. But at this
That's
point,
not our show.
This is our show. This is the Wild Vent Line. This is your show, to be honest. This is your show to come on with Judd and myself to talk about the Wild game, talk about the Wild season. By the way, this is a safe space. This is not a place to clown. This is not a place to rip. This is not a place to throw it on anyone. This is a place where we want to bring you on the screen, and also Vegas Knights fans also too. Like if Vegas Knights fans want to come on, if Wild fans want to come on, if you're maybe an NHL hockey fan and you're discovering the show for the first time, by the way, thank you. If that's the case, hit the subscribe button on our YouTube channel. And if you want to get in and you have takes, shoot me an email. It's also scrolling right now on the bottom of your screen. It's Vikings Vent Line.
That is correct.
Mail.com. You cannot miss it. Yes, I know that's.
That is Vikings Vent Line is correct.
It's not
yes.
Wild Vent Line. Just for the sake of email simplicity, we keep it as Vikings Vent Line because we also have a Vikings Vent Line show on Purple Daily. What we do is we've taken that idea, we've morphed to the Wild season. So if you'd like to get in on this take for Game 7, you have takes on the season, you like to think on things looking ahead, Judd and I would love to hear from you guys. So shoot me an email. VikingsVentLine@gmail.com. We're the most interactive show for you Minnesota sports fans. Also, one last plug, follow us on Instagram at Score North. We also have content there as well. We're also on Twitter at Score North and Facebook. You can find our shows, Mackie and Judd and Purple Deal, wherever you get your podcast, Apple, Spotify, and ScoreNorth.com.
To be clear, you can rip the team. We won't rip you. And that brings an end to the Wild's 2020-21 season. 6-2 is the final. Against the Golden Knights, empty net goal by Janmark finishes the scoring. He had a hat trick. Let's give our thoughts first, Dex, and then start to incorporate the viewers into the show to get their comments. All right, so the Wild came out exactly like I didn't want them to come out. They came out on their heels. They weren't skating that well. The Golden Knights, and I think we talked about this on the preview show, came out very quickly. That was not surprising coming off the loss in Game 6. Golden Knights had lost two consecutive games, so they came out flying. We expected that. The question was, what would the counterpunch be by the Wild? And after, I would say, about 12 minutes of poor hockey, where they didn't play well, got decidedly outshot, and Cam Talbot gave up one goal, but for the most part played outstanding again, the Wild tied it. Zach Parise. Nice goal. Zach Parise, no-look goal in front, a gritty goal, a typical Parise goal. It might be his last goal in a Wild sweater. But nonetheless, at that point in time, then for the rest of the first period, I thought the Wild rebounded and played well. And I thought, okay, second period, they've got to come out and play their game to combat what the Golden Knights are going to do. But they've shown something now. So, like, if there were jitters or they just didn't play well or the Golden Knights were flying to start the game, that was done, and the second period would be different. Well, second period, the shots were 17-6. The Wild actually won more faceoffs in the first period than they lost, which was not the storyline of this series, but Vegas completely dominated. And I'm going to give you what I think was the – well, there were a lot of problems here. I'm going to give you what I think was the ultimate backbreaker, Declan.
Okay. I'm curious.
One Brodin going down early definitely hurt. Mm-hmm. But teams – you know, guys get hurt. That happens to every team. So you can't really complain. Star players go out. And Brodin, I wouldn't call him a star player, but I mean, he's a very good, reliable defenseman. So, and now you're down from six defensemen to five. But the Golden Knights score a goal by a Hag at 2:05. Okay, that hurts, 2-1. But on the power play, Kaprizov comes back and scores his second goal of the series off a feed from Zuccarello at 4:35, and all of a sudden we're tied at two. And I think to myself, okay, this is absolutely fine, right? Well, the backbreaker to me is one goal and it's one play. It's the dump in by Theodore that Stevenson, who's a good center, went in and got the puck. And Max Pacioretty, who was back tonight, comes flying down the slot. And Jordan Greenway, and how often have we talked about the difference that he can make both good and bad? Yeah. Jordan Greenway has fallen asleep and is trailing the play. And Pacioretty, who led the Golden Knights with 24 goals during the season, playing his first game, comes flying down the slot and scores on Talbot. And it's not Talbot's fault. It's Greenway's fault. He lost his man. And I felt after that, Declan, that the game, if it wasn't over, the tone of it completely changed. And you know, I thought, okay, the Wild came out and looked bad, but they recovered. They gave up an early second period goal, but they recovered and Kaprizov scored. It felt like the lazy play by Greenway and the Pacioretty goal that made the score 3-2 was like the last stand, and it didn't feel like they could rebound after that. And that is just a terrible play. I mean, Greenway has to have – that's Pacioretty. Like, you've got to have him. I understand if he beats you and he scores, but he didn't beat you. You fell asleep. So that, to me, was old school Wild. It was inexcusable because of the lack of work. And after that, I really felt like – it's not the Wild didn't have chances. They did. But I really felt like the game – largely came undone after that.
What was so funny to me, Judd, is I think I tweeted this out, and you could even credit me as the kiss of death when after this happened, but it felt very much like 2014. The Wild went down a goal, they tied it. It was then 2-1, they tied it. It was back and forth. There wasn't a moment in the game, at least up until then, when it was 2-2, you thought, all right, every time Vegas scored, the Minnesota Wild had an answer. And it kind of was like, all right, it's going to be trending in one of those very similar 2014 Game 7. And I was about to text the Whisperer. I even wanted his crystal ball. I wanted to know what he was thinking because I thought, man, this sounds awfully
familiar. He was thinking, I need some more wine. That's what the Whisperer was thinking.
And maybe, you know, the Buffalo Wings, the tacos, and the Pacific Northwest were flowing for the Hockey Whisperer. So that's why I was curious, you know, like what was going on, because it felt an awful lot like 2014 as I was watching that game. Really quick as I adjust my audio here. And then as the game progressed, they get down to that Greenway play, as you said, that it kind of felt that, oh, man, that was a play he missed. And that was a play and a player, too, that I told you in our preview show that I thought would show up tonight big time because I thought he's played very well this season, and I thought he's had a nice series. And unfortunately, that was a turning point, too, Judd. Honestly, I agree. I hate to be like the default of, oh, I'll agree with my co-host here, and I'll bow to you in this retrospect. And I know you're my sports dad, by the way.
And I expect you to. But no,
that was the turning point. That was the turning point.
Yeah.
That was the turning point in the game. And to me, the problem I had, and I've calmed down since this has happened as the game progressed because it got out of hand in the third period. The problem I have is when it's 4-2, okay, when the Wild are now down 2 goals and Vegas is pouring it on, and you're still bitching that the referees have missed a high stick call by Haig late in the game, and the Vegas Golden Knights and the Vegas Golden referees are you're now playing 2 games against them.
Who complained about that?
You should see my Twitter feed.
Okay, because I
see
did.
My Twitter feed.
I did.
You and I think both have different Twitter feeds of who we follow because that's what I saw, and I can't stand that, Judd. I honestly and to get on my soapbox here to get me back riled up after being calmed down, I can't stand the fact. If you're down 2 goals and you are putting the blame on the referees, when you have scored 2, the opposing team has scored 4. When Vegas has the skill and you don't. When for the first time your goalie has let you down for the first time all series and the other team's goalie hasn't. That's why you lost the game. This is a learning experience. Other players let you down. Not the referees, not the Zebras that missed a high stick late in the game that didn't matter throughout the entire course of when you were trailing. But that mindset is exactly what I think you, myself, Phil, have tried to really bring home, not just on the Wild, but Minnesota sports, is raising our expectations and understanding that you're putting blame and you're not putting the focus on the things that absolutely matter and the things that you should be pissed off about. Not the referees. The team let you down tonight. And it stinks. It sucks that we lose this Game 7 in this fashion. And I still think, by the way, that this Wild team is trending in the right direction. And this isn't a casket match of this is the end of the Wild and we're going to go into a long rebuild. I think better days are ahead for this franchise. I just think it's really unfortunate when I see Minnesota sports fans complaining about referees when your own team was the reason you let you down and rant.
See, the people I follow, I'm going to give credit to on Twitter because I didn't see that from my end at all for the most part. I saw people identifying the problems tonight, which was great. And I would say Talbot did not let them down. I thought that game after the first period could have been 5-1. Like I thought he played well. And look, the key was in game 6, the Wild adjusted things and the Wild basically mucked up the neutral zone and they stood up at their blue line and they did a very good job of slowing down a good team. They didn't do a good job tonight, and the Golden Knights, to their credit, came out absolutely flying. I'm sure Pacioretty being back helped them a lot. But yeah, they did not play a good game. They looked exhausted. And now I did see a couple things about Parisi, because I thought Parisi and Fiala both had really good games tonight again. I thought Fiala did some great things. But, you know, Parisi should have been playing, blah, blah, blah. Keep in mind, if Parisi had played in this entire series, he's not as good as he was tonight. One, he's more tired because he's old. Two, benching him definitely brought him to life. Like that, the games that he has played in, he definitely, you know, was a motivated player. And this is a guy who, before he was benched for the playoffs, hadn't scored a point, not a goal, not an assist in 9 games. So Parisi played well, but it wasn't, I don't think it was because, oh man, if you had played him in the entire series, it might have been different. I think that's absolutely incorrect. I thought Parisi played well because, one, he was rested for the first part of the series because he didn't play in it, and two, I think the scratches that he incurred during the course of the series through, what, I think the first 4 games or so, I think those woke him up quite a bit. And I also think that there's a very good chance that he played his last game in a Wild jersey tonight. But I'm with you on the fact that I'm not upset about the future now. This is the Jets. The last time they appeared in the playoffs, and I don't mean the bubble, I don't mean the play-in round.
Yeah.
The last time that the Wild appeared in the playoffs against the Jets, and I think they got waxed in game 5, it felt hopeless. Like that team wasn't going anywhere. If they brought that group back, which they did, it was going to get, you know, it was not going to make the playoffs. When you have a foundation that this team has now, which starts with one guy, Kaprizov, but if you can, you know, if you get Fiala signed, Kaprizov, you've got some building blocks now. And so this year was fun. It's a disappointing ending, but it feels like it should be. And I'll caution, I'll tone my words down a little bit by saying should be, because we don't know. It feels like it should be the start of something. And it was really also nice to see a series where you didn't feel like goaltending somehow screwed you.
Yeah. I don't look at this series as, I don't look at it as the Wild are really significantly far behind and it was just a cute little 7 game playoff run. Right. I think goaltending is fixed. And by the way, to my own point that I proved to you, that I brought to you, at the beginning of the season that the Wild's goaltending was going to be significantly better.
Mm-hmm.
And it was significantly better. Now, here's the flip side. The goaltending could regress, right? Like, save percentage in general in goaltending regresses. It's a very volatile position, man. It's just kind of what it is.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I don't look at the overhead view of what Cam Talbot brought the team. That he's going to regress hard and the Wild are going to be looking for their next goaltender. I don't look at it in that retrospect. I look at it as, can you find probably one legit center, not just, a project or someone
right.
who used to be good back in the day.
A veteran.
A legit.
Who can play the position.
Not even veteran. And I wouldn't even say veteran, Judd. Established. Because I feel like the Wild fans get maybe tricked into the veteran signings, right? The Vanek's, the Pominvilles. You get locked into a veteran. You lock them into a long-term deal. it doesn't work out. I'll use the word established to kind of even ease that tension. But to your point, exactly what we're looking for, right? The Capitals could be heading towards a rebuild. They've said that already. And you and I think this is the best part of this vent line before we get to a bunch of fans who are ready to come in this room. And I'm really excited to welcome
a
bunch of Wild fans.
I'll take Ovechkin, too, if they don't want
him. Yeah, if they don't want
him. If they don't want Ovechkin, I'll stick him somewhere in the power play. Yeah. I don't know exactly where, but I'd find room.
We'll make it work. And our offseason talkers are only going to pick up. And we'll get into that, I think, honestly, on later episodes of Judd's Hockey Show and on Score North with Mackie and Judd as well. But at the same time, the future is very, very bright for Minnesota. And yeah, it's a tough way to lose out. You can blame me that I'm overreacting to fans and referees, and that's okay. By the way, I really want this known, and I'm really hoping that our Wild fans who are in the room here who are about to get to echo this, it's okay to be pissed off by tonight. I want you to be pissed off. I want you to be upset. I want people to be frustrated that this is how the season ends. And at the same time, I want people to know that this is trending towards the right area, which is what you and I have been saying, by the way, before the season ever started, that this is trending in the right direction.
I think you're more pissed off if they didn't try. If the old Wild made you mad. This is a tough loss. But this was a series where, I mean, they were down 3-1. It looked really bad. They came back. I don't feel mad. I mean, the Greenway lack of effort on the Pacioretty goal makes me mad, but I don't feel mad about this. I feel like there was an opportunity here. And look, the Avs are almost certainly going to beat the Golden Knights, and they for sure, I think, would have beat the Wild. That being said, I am not going to sit here and be like, well, I'm glad they're not going to the second round, because that would have been a valuable experience. But I'm not mad because I don't feel that this was an overall lack of caring, which is what I feel like that the old team was. I don't think they cared. I think that if they could go golfing by the end, they were happy. This team, I think, wanted to keep playing. It had some drawbacks. And I guess the one good thing that the playoffs did, before we get to people, Dex, is the playoffs really solidified for Bill Guerin what he needs. Like, now there's no gray about, well, what if so-and-so could play center more, you know, or what if, you know, is Dumba, I mean, Dumba, look at the step that this series, I think, showed you a lot of things. And I wouldn't be surprised if Dumba's not back. And I wouldn't be surprised if Greenway's not back. Nothing about this really shocked me.
Yep.
So let's get to the folks.
Should we do it?
Let's do it. Let's start to run through. Let's start to run through the comments and see what people think.
This is Wild Vent Line. Judd and I are going to have many thoughts on this season and the next steps in future episodes. But this is your show. Thank you, everyone, for hanging out with us. This is Wild Vent Line on Score North and ScoreNorth.com. Score North MN. Hit that subscribe button on our YouTube channel. Follow us on Instagram at Score North. Judd Zolgad and I, who's cracked the summit. You got an EPA there, Mr. Zolgad?
Yeah, it's just a basic summit EPA.
I love me a good EPA.
What do you got?
I got my tequila on the rocks. I've been rocking it all.
I tell you to mix it up, but I have not been, so I can't really tell you to.
Hey, really quick, shameless plug. I was at the Minnesota State Fair get-together tonight, which was a diet Minnesota State Fair thing. And I was at a local establishment inside the fair, and it was very condensed, by the way. Like, it was actually really weird because all the midway rides were gone. So actually where you were at the fair, I could see the Minneapolis skyline. Where I was at
the rides fair. Weren't there.
The rides weren't there. So good. It was just really weird. And I know you would love that, right?
I'm okay with that. Get rid of the rides permanently. I hate rides.
But it was strange. But anyway, I was standing there and I was waiting at a table with some friends because I was drinking waters and I was being appropriate because I had to come back for Wild Vent Line and be ready to rock for this when I could drink my tequila and voice my opinions. And someone said, Hey Dex, and I thought it was maybe the friends I was with, and it wasn't. Some guy said, oh, we're doing Vent Line from the fair tonight. And I said, you know, not tonight, but, you know, maybe in a future date. So someone at the Minnesota State Fair.
Well, that's very nice. That's very cool.
Saw us, knows who we are.
Tell them we will not be doing Ventline from the fair ever, but tell them thank you very much.
Will do. All right, let's waste no more time. Let's get to our Wild Ventline fans here. We're going to start with Thomas. Thomas, what's up, man? You're on Wild Ventline. Kick us off.
Hello, Thomas.
I don't know. It was definitely, like, a hard game to watch. Like, it felt like there's so much build, and like you said, like, it just had a really good feeling going into the game. And watching, like, the Greenway goal, that one really like ticked me off. Like, I played high school hockey, granted, nowhere close to this, but it's like there is just a compete factor and like a playing that you just like you need to have. You just need to have. And it was really demoralizing to watch the game. I do agree we definitely have a bright future, and I don't think that we're lacking there at all. I think like the next steps are going to be super interesting. Like, who do we keep out of like the core young players? And then what do you do about like signing new free agents or like Bonino and all of those guys that we took in for short deals? And then like, who do we protect? Like, I don't know. I think that's going to be I hope that the playoffs did enough for Garen to be able to like really speak on all that.
And keep in mind too, that, you know, Fiala has to be signed to at least a bridge contract, if not a long-term contract.
Yeah.
Ek is coming up as well, so he has to be signed. And, I mean, he is, you know, he went from being a huge disappointment that the team didn't take Besser 3 years or 2 years ago to being, oh, he's pretty good, to this year being damn good. And Kaprizov can also be signed as well. And hopefully, if this all works out, they can do an 8-year contract with him. So like those three things off the top, but yeah, at center, they have to get one guy. They have to find a guy, and it can't be a makeshift. Oh, he played wing, but he can play center. It has to be a legitimate, and I get it's not going to be an ace type guy. Like, it's not going to be a great one, but it has to be a good one. And if you can start training camp with that guy, whoever that might be, Rossi, Ek, like that would probably be solid, right?
Yeah. No, for sure. So. And like seeing that, like, I don't know, I'm definitely excited for next year, but I like the whole expect, like, I've probably been watching you guys for, I don't know, the last 3-4 months, and it's just like I agree with like the expectation, and I know this totally is playing with house money, like way ahead of schedule, I guess, but like, I like Declan's point, whatever it was a few days ago, where he was like, there is no future. It was after the weekend thoughts. You were like, there's no guarantee for future success. Like, correct, something could go wrong. And so it definitely like had a hard feel to watch just how it unfolded at the end. It didn't feel super competitive, like past that second period. And
right.
But yeah. Other than that, like, great season, definitely excited for next year. And hopefully can make some more moves going forward.
Thomas, thanks much. Thomas, great stuff,
thank you, man.
Thank you.
Great points.
Appreciate
great
you points. Watching.
Yeah, to Thomas's point there, that it's a really easy trap, and this goes beyond the Wild. This happens with the Twins. Honestly, it's happened. It's happening with the Minnesota Twins in 2021, where you see a unexpected run of success, and you're like, oh, well, we're going to be great for 5 years. This is the start of something new. This is going to be something great. And the rug can get pulled out of you really quick. That's what happened to the Wild 4 years ago. That's what happens with the Twins right now. You just don't. It's so hard to project long-term success, and you don't know what can happen with injuries, with ineffectiveness, with people hitting a cliff. So yes, I think brighter days, by the way, are still ahead for the Wild. So I'm not trying to shortchange that, but to project in 2026 that the Wild should be projecting for a cup, and that 2021 was the, you know, lowest point, you can't get too far ahead of your skis in that retrospect.
The difference in 2022 is very, very simple to me. There's going to be expectations. 2021, there weren't. It's like, oh, they made the playoffs in third place. That's great, right? 2022, there are going to be expectations. And here's the reason why that I wouldn't do it out long term, but the reason why I expect them to be successful for the next couple of years, and why I'll go into next season having real expectations, is very simple. It's Kaprizov. You've got a superstar player. You got to find a center to play with him, but you've got, how often in this town have we had superstar players? I mean, Justin Jefferson might be one now. Kaprizov's one. But you have to bank on, if you surround him with the right people, like this team, this club has never had this guy. They just haven't. Like, Gabrick might have come semi-close, but, you know, the whole Parisi Suter era, when those guys were at the height of their game, you never had a star like this, a potential superstar player. So that's the reason why I'm going to go into next year's saying, if you get bounced in the first round in 7 games, This year, that was sort of an accomplishment. Nice job. Next year, it's not. It's a disappointment. If we're sitting here doing this same wrap-up show after a 7-game series next spring, it's a disappointment.
Yep. Judd, I'm gonna somewhat break our rules a little bit here. I typically like to bring on new fans, but this person hasn't been on the show before, and at the same time, he's really eager to get on, so I'm going to do it. And I'm going to bring on Brother Liam because he wants
Brother
to talk
Liam.
To you. He wants to talk to Judd, and he wants to talk to me. Well, he doesn't want to talk to me.
I don't ever want to talk to you. If we're all talking about beers, though, I'm going to talk about R&D Brewing out of North Carolina, 7 Saturdays. It's one of the best modern IPAs I've ever had. It's 6%.
Really?
It's my 7th.
Wow. Oh, that's 7. Oh boy. Watch the watch the language. And where's the golf hair? Like, your hair is good, but it's not great. What's going on with the hair?
Yes.
Well, for the record, Judley, Declan grows his hair out a little bit more than I do.
Okay. Well, you've got the good hair, but I mean, he just
no.
He's what? Mr. Product too.
No, there's no product in my hair.
Him. Your brother is Mr. Product.
Oh no, I'm all about product. There's no product in my hair right now. This is just
all right. All... Okay, well then that's why that
yeah.
answers my
Look
question.
Look at how thick this is, though. Look at I'll go through the back of my head, and you don't even see my fingers forever. Look at how thick this hair is.
That's good hair. That's real good hair. That's real good hair. I'm envious of your hair.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay.
What's going on?
No. Couple things. Number one, I have amazing hair. Number one, I think something that is important. Yes, we're a few steps ahead. I thought we were a 4 seed, and that's okay. But the difference between this leap going into the playoffs compared to like 2013 is that 2013 we collectively Minnesota Wild, Chuck Fletcher, everything. Our roster was set, and we weren't going to make changes, right? We were counting on the growth.
Correct.
Coyle, Zucker, Granlund, Brodin. Remember, people harp on Brodin. Brodin was a Calder finalist his rookie season as a 19-year-old.
Yeah.
Now, the difference is we've secured a 3rd seed and pushed Vegas, who top to bottom, no way is around it, is a better team. There's the Wild realistically shouldn't have gone to 7 games in this series. They shouldn't have. They didn't have the star power. Kaprizov is going to be a star, but he didn't compare to Stone. He's not on Stone's level. He's not on Petrangelo's level. He's not on Fleury's level. He's not that guy yet. The difference is that next year, I actually had this on Write This Down earlier in the year.
Mm-hmm.
My prediction was that 5 Minnesota Wild players that made the opening night lineup will not return next year. That's the difference, is that there's going to be turnover. Absolutely. The last time that we had this amount of hope, we were banking on the Coils, the Zuckers, the Granlunds, the Brodeens, the Niederreiters. This time, there's going to be turnover. I love the additions of Bonino and Cole. I hope Ian Cole comes back.
Mm-hmm.
But Rask, he's not the answer. You have to get a center.
Yes.
You have to get one.
Yes.
Because Rossi, in my opinion, has the potential to be maybe a number one, but you can't just throw him into that.
Correct.
He's had 9 months of no training. 9 months of no training. As a very mediocre varsity hockey player, let me tell you, you can't do that. Mm-hmm. Now, he can come back to training camp, and that's okay. But Boldy's going to come back and probably crack the opening night lineup next year.
I think he's top 6 to start the season, don't you guys?
Yeah, but he's top 6 to start the season. But you want to know why he's top 6 to start the season? Because Kevin Fiala is not on the roster next year.
Ooh, are you saying he gets traded?
He's going to have to be in order to get a number one center. Because Matt Dumba did not have the season that is required in order to obtain a number one.
It's going
to
be interesting. Yeah. It depends on who is available. I mean, I'll say this.
Well,
a center that Fiala would fetch you is better be a borderline ace type of guy. And Fiala's a wing. Like, those trades are hard.
Well, no, that's the difference, right? Is because Fiala's a wing, he's going to have to be packaged because Fiala's thing, so there's his knock, but Dumba did not have the season that everyone expected.
No, you're right about that. Yeah.
down, so they're going to have to be packaged together.
Yep. And I do think
write this down on Ventline right now. Jack Eichel will wear a Minnesota Wild sweater next season.
Don't see it. Yeah, I don't see it.
I don't see it either.
It's
going to be Dumba, Fiala, and the Pittsburgh first.
I don't see it.
Yeah.
He'll be traded by Buffalo, but I
future.
I don't think it's here. Oh no, I know what you're looking for, but I'm just saying I don't see that one.
But the difference is that compared to last time when we went to a 7-game series, maybe ahead of time, as people were saying, is that we have to make changes. We know Garen's afraid to make the change. I'm telling you, there's going to have to be there is going to be major changes. I stick to my write this down prediction from earlier in the year. The roster turnover is going to be drastic. And you're going to have coaching, which, you know, we kind of doubted Evason as a placeholder when he got hired by
Garen.
No.
By Paul Fenton?
Fenton, yeah. Forgot his name because he was here first.
As an assistant coach, yeah.
As an assistant, that he was just kind of the placeholder, but it turns out he knows how to coach a hockey club. So if you can bring that coaching with Kaprizov, I do believe that if you have the right bodies up the middle with Boldy playing wing, that you have a solid hockey club.
I like it. Thank you, sir.
Brother Liam.
Talk to you, Brother Liam.
Love you. Yeah, we'll be talking. I don't want to give him any more airtime than you're ready. He comes on here. He suggests a Kevin Fiala
trade. Yeah, he just trades your favorite player.
He trades my favorite player.
I don't think they're getting.
He throws me underneath the bus for that. But Judd, all right, I'll welcome his point. He's the only active person on the roster that can fetch you what you're trying to get. I don't think there's another person on the active roster that can fetch you what you want to get.
If you want Eichel
for a number one center.
Eichel would cost you Fiala and, like your brother said, more than that. Like, that would be the starting point. I just don't think they're going to get him.
Yeah.
I think there's too many things I've heard that would make him a wild card a little bit. And first and foremost, as good as Jack Eichel can potentially be, Bill Guerin has worked his ass off to clean up this team.
Yeah.
And if there's any red flags about Eichel in the room, Bill Guerin, again, he was a captain in this league. He won Stanley Cups. So I don't think that one happens, and I don't think anyone's going to be in a hurry to trade your guy, Kevin Fiala. Who's next?
Right. Yep, let's keep rolling on Vikings Ventline. Let's go to Brandon. Brandon was in the room for a while. Brandon, how you doing, man? Welcome to Wild Ventline.
Brandon? Hello?
You know what? We're gonna put Brandon just in the green room just for a second here as we reconvene. That's okay. It happens sometimes. This is Wild Vent Line. By the way, thank you everyone for joining us. This is the Minnesota Wild Vent Line. Hit that subscribe button on our YouTube page. We're here for you. We'll keep moving on. Let's try Eric. Eric, what's up, man? In your Big Ten quarter zip, what's going on? You're on Wild Vent Line.
Not too much. How's it going, guys?
Good, man. Good. How are you?
Doing all right. Well, could be doing better, I guess, but doing all right for the moment. So I guess I'm happy I got a little bit of a break there in between Brother Liam and myself, because that's something to try and follow there. But anyways, I guess I'm not huge into like understanding a ton of the like strategy and stuff with hockey so far. I just like, I guess I'm more of a casual fan.
Sure.
But have been following since like the previous regime and stuff, and actually got to go to the game 7 in Denver back in 2014. So for the first half of this game, it felt like that game, and it felt like it until it didn't. And like the Wild just lost out of being able to keep up with the Golden Knights tonight, basically. So I guess looking forward, not just in terms of people who might be coming in or going out, like personnel changes, what has to happen in terms of is speed, like it seems like Vegas was just way faster than the Wild were. Is speed a huge issue moving forward? And then what are other things just in terms of like, it seems like puck handling was an issue throughout the series for the Wild. It feels like the Wild had a much harder time being able to like gain the offensive zone versus Vegas was able to just cut through the Wild defense. So what are things like that that need to happen moving forward?
Eric, you're good, Judd. I think you hit on it exactly. The Wild have pesky play. They have good goaltending. They have a couple superstars. They have one superstar in Kaprizov. They have a good player in Kevin Fiala, a nice center in Joel Eriksson-Ek. But at the end of the day, you don't have the skill to keep up with Vegas, right? Like, you look at Alex Tuck and Pacioretty, who came back for the first time all game, or all series, excuse me. You know, like, you look at the skill that's up and down Vegas, and even if you have to go to the mountain, pun intended, that is Colorado, you're going to see that that skill is in insane amount of depths, and you have to match that. And I'll say this, and this is where I was trying to match what Colorado did a few years ago. So a couple years ago, the Colorado Avalanche really only had one line. They had one line that was really, really good in Landeskog, MacKinnon, and Rantanen, and everyone else was just kind of irrelevant, just kind of meh. And eventually they realized, oh, we have to fill out our roster, and that means hitting on our draft picks, that means hitting on free agent signings, that means trading players that you have to do. They filled out their roster really, really well, and that's probably why they are the favorites to win the Cup. And to be honest, even though I know it stinks as a Wild fan, you have to watch Vegas and Colorado play, that's going to be a dynamite series. If you're even a casual sports fan and you don't know anything about hockey, I'm really excited to watch something like Colorado and Vegas, because that's something, if you can build that blueprint, and I know Vegas had a special reasoning to building their roster than the other team's roster, but that's kind of what it is, man. What you said, they don't have the speed to keep up, and if the Wild can find that speed to at least chip away at the tree, that is the way they can compete with the Vegases and the Colorados of the world.
And I'll give you two names. Nathan MacKinnon. Like, that's a starting point. That's a superstar at a position where it's hard to find him. Damn near impossible, right? So, like, Kaprizov's great, but he plays wing. A center who is as speedy and as big and as dominant as MacKinnon can be, he lifts you from being your good to your potentially great. The Golden Knights, the Mark Stone trade. Look at Mark Stone. Look at what Mark Stone does. The Wild has nobody that can come close to that skill, big, dominant. And the other thing the Wild, I think, probably needs to actually win a cup, and again, these are hard to find, they need a big, heavy, but yet skilled defenseman. Like, they don't really have that guy. They don't have that guy that can dominate from the blue line in that sense. Like, Spurgeon's a very nice small player, right? But he's a small player. You need that heavy defenseman that can move guys out in front and can make plays. And so, I mean, that's the thing is, this team's improving, and this team definitely has a superstar in Kaprizov. But, I mean, there are still very obvious missing pieces. And the question is, how many of those pieces can be filled? And it's not going to all come probably, you know, this summer. It's going to have to take a little bit of time, but that doesn't mean that you can't fill them in. And the starting point right now is they just have to find at least two centers to put around Ek as well. Like, so if the depth chart is, again, Rossi, veteran guy who's good, probably not going to be an all-star, but he's solid and good, and Ek. Now you've got to start there, because right now, I'm sorry, Victor Rask centering for Kaprizov and Zuccarello, it's not going to work. Like, you're not going to make a cup run with that. So,
yeah, well, it's definitely the thing you could see all night tonight and throughout the series is, like, there's Kaprizov and no one else around him. And, like, you guys have been talking about it all season. So,
and that's when he takes the puck and skates around.
Yeah,
like, because that's his skill. But he is literally looking for somebody, and they don't have the guy to pass to. So,
yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Eric, thanks so much for coming on, man. Hey, Judd, I really want to bring up this quote from Zach Parise after the end of the game. This is from our friend of the show, Michael Russo.
Get me the hell out of here? Is that what it was?
This is the Parise quote. And I'm reading this quote. I didn't hear the question. I'm just reading the quote that is being put out on Twitter. But it's from Michael Russo, who is obviously part of the post-game scrum with all the other reporters. And Parise says, quote, "With all the sideshow stuff that's been going on, I've been ready to play since day one, and tonight was no different," end quote.
Mm-hmm.
When you hear something like that, what is your immediate reaction? Just as I read that quote to you, Judd, like, what is your immediate reaction when I read that? And I can read it again if you'd like.
No, I totally get it. It's Zach. The problem with Zach has never been effort, but Zach Parise still thinks he's 30. He still thinks he's convinced that tonight's game, in which I thought he played well, would have been his entire series. And I'll tell you right now, he's wrong. He's 36. But this was the problem with the culture of that room for a long time. Like, Zach's not going to change. This isn't the new Zach Parise. Zach Parise and Suter, it's, you know, a well-known fact, had a lot of control at one time in that room, and it was counterproductive. I mean, all you have to do, Declan, is go back to when Mike Yeo left, when Mike got fired, and I think he met the beat writers and the columnists at the Caribou in Woodbury, and he cut open a vein and basically said, we had some issues with the veterans, i.e. Parise and Suter, and at that time, the young guys, Coyle, Granlund, Zucker, go down that list. That's just Zach. But I mean, I also think that quote's indicative of why Bill Guerin doesn't want him back. Don't you? Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I know. That's exactly what it is.
Bill Guerin's number one goal after watching this team for months, what now, 2 years ago, after taking the job, his number one goal was to clean out as much of that locker room as he possibly could. And he tried to trade Zach. That's why. And you know what? And now it's not surprising that a 36-year-old guy who works his butt off on the ice would still not understand that things have changed. Things have changed. But I'm just telling you, Zach Parise doesn't have the game that he had tonight if Zach Parise hadn't been scratched.
Yeah.
So that to me is crystal clear.
Let's keep moving on with our Wild Vent Line calls here. We got a full room on Wild Vent Line. Thank you for hanging out with us. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, please, and we'll have plenty of other Minnesota sports stuff to be breaking down on Score North with Mackie and Judd and on Purple Daily. Let's try this again. Brandon, how are you, man? Welcome to Wild Vent Line. How you doing?
Doing great. You guys hear me now?
Yes, perfect. Sir. We got you. Yep.
Thanks for the show. Hey, and to Liam, if you're going to, after a loss, you don't go at an IPA. You go straight for the bourbon, some knob
creep. There you go.
Come on, man.
My guy.
I got the IPA.
My guy.
You've got the bourbon. He's got the tequila.
You got it right. You got to go something that's harder. You got a little harder. I like it.
It's not good for me.
I do have to comment on how many people were saying we got to do adjustments. We got to do adjustments. Like it's some magic pixie dust. I do believe that the Wild did do that. And especially you saw it in the second period, even though we did every series or every game, we got outshot. Why is that? Because they went 1-1-3 trap. When you do that, all the forwards got to be back. All the defensemen's got to be back. So mm-hmm. you get caught back in your own defensive zone. Mm-hmm. It obviously isn't good for offensive production, but as we went through it, I do like the fight I saw, but when you lose Brodin and you go to a five-man defensive core and all of a sudden you have a defenseman playing his offside, that makes a big difference. And the war of attrition through this whole series, I don't think people take into account to that. I'll be the first to name drop. My brother played with Devin Dubnyk out in Stockton Thunder, and Devin, whoever's giving Cam Talbot a hard time right now, they have not. You got to know Devin Dubnyk's history. Go watch some history of Devin Dubnyk's losses. And I again, I'm not trying to be mean to him, but
yeah,
dang, Devin Dubnyk is, or Cam Talbot is not the reason we lost tonight.
No. And,
yes, I know. I know the low hanging fruit is yes. Greenway did have a defensive breakdown. Yes. Suter made a turnover bad in play. But if you look at actually Greenway's right before he gave up the goal, he made a wonderful play on the blue line to bump it out, to get it in the neutral zone, because our whole game plan was to slow down the neutral zone. But what did the Vegas Knights do? They brought two wingers and they posted them both high on the defensive core to shove us back even more. So that opened up the neutral zone. The defenseman had to play back. And then they just played the good old dump and chase, or eyeballs and a-holes. Once the defenseman had to turn back, They were pressuring us, and our strength was in our defense. But as we started getting depleted, it hurt us. And I don't think people realize that when they just say, oh, we got to make adjustments. That makes a big difference in our defensive core. And it didn't allow us to put pressure on their defense, which I think is Vegas's weakness. So, I'll let you guys chat about it. But that's at least what I saw. But I do see some hope in this team, as you guys have alluded to in past experience or past times with the Wild teams. But I'm not going to harp on the Wild for their game plan. The Vegas made their adjustments based off of what we were doing. And we just didn't, like you said, we didn't have the speed. We didn't have the skill. Vegas was clearly the better team, but we fought it out the way we could. And the better team won.
So the five periods that bothered me were actually not tonight. The five periods that I pointed to and bugged me were periods 2 and 3 in game 3 and the entire game 4. That's where I felt like the Wild allowed the play to be dictated without pushback. Game 6, second period on, I loved it. They gummed up, they gummed up the game. They slowed it down. They probably took what could have been called penalties, but they didn't call them, which was fine. And then tonight I just felt like it got away from them at times. And the Greenway play only bothered me because that felt like the turning point. Like that felt like the final, because, to their credit, the first period, they could have got blown out. And you're right. Talbot played fantastic. And it's 1-1. And you're like, oh, my God, it's 1-1. Right. And then it's 2-2. So the 3-2 goal bothered me because that felt like it sort of marked a line of, OK, they're done now. But, yeah, I don't think the entire series is about, like, they didn't make adjustments. I just was really disappointed in those two home games. And then in game 6, I really liked what they did. And, in games 1 and 5, Talbot just saved them. I mean, yeah. Cam was – you're right. Anybody that looks at any of this series and says, well, Cam could have done this. No, you're wrong. Cam Talbot was outstanding. And I thought tonight in what – he gave up 5 of the 6 goals, because I think the 6th goal was an empty netter. Cam Talbot was great. So I am not going to fault him for 1 second. And the Dubnyk goals disappeared here. Like, there was none of the fluky Dubnyk stuff.
Yeah.
So thank you, Brandon. Appreciate it.
Have a good night.
Brandon, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate you.
Yep. Good stuff.
Yeah, we'll keep rolling on here on Wild Ventline. We got a full room, so we won't waste any time. Is it Forest Rain? Do I have the right name here, correct? Is there a more proper name, or are we good with Forest Rain?
What's yes, up, that man? Is correct, Forest Rain.
How you doing, dude? Welcome to Wild Vent Line.
No, thank you. Love the show, guys. Appreciate all the content you guys have been producing.
Thanks, man.
I really appreciate that this game wasn't in the middle of the week at the end of the night, because I would love to contribute earlier, but, some of us have to get up at 6 a.m. to work.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate that.
Cheers.
Cheers to you as well. Come on, Dex. Cheers him.
Yeah, cheers. Cheers. Sorry. Yep. Sorry.
Don't drop
the ball. Cheers. Cheers. A little Coors Light. Love it, man. Love it, Forrest Rand. Thank you for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
So here's my hot take.
Yeah.
Admittedly, I'm a Minnesota sports fan, for the most part, entrenched in Minnesota Vikings, and a bandwagon fan for all of other Minnesota sports. However, I will say, Minnesota sports had the best rookie class in all of the sports markets.
That's a good point, dude. Yeah.
Oh, totally. Yeah. No.
Totally. Honestly. No.
Exactly right. Yeah.
Right, yeah. Totally. Hit it. Keep going.
So, seeing that, how does the Wild and or Vikings, I know we're talking about the Wild tonight, but how do we take the next step, seeing that we have the most talented young guys in the room?
Mm-hmm.
Is it, do we have to get in this next draft, or do we bring in free agents, or I don't know. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
In this sport? Because the salary cap is a huge problem here. And I guess, Elliot Friedman, in his most recent 31 Thoughts column, reported that the salary cap in the National Hockey League might not move for 5 years. 5 years. So like the whole free agent thing, hey, go aside, that's not going to be as possible as it looked like pre-pandemic, and it still would have been tough. So I would say, yes, the draft. I would say that there has to be some reliance that Rossi is going to join the team for the 2021-22 season and be plugged in behind at least Eck and hopefully a veteran at center. And to Declan's brother's point, the one I do agree with this. I do think the other center that you get is probably going to have to come via trade. But the question also becomes, like, those guys are like ace pitchers for us. So that's not a position at which, like, guys are just being shopped. Hey, just take our, you know, our number one center. That doesn't happen a lot. So you're going to have to get creative there. But yeah, I think that with the salary cap being what the salary cap is and Parisi possibly being traded and or bought out, probably, I think we're talking about trades and draft picks. I think that's probably it. Unless you want to trade. I mean, the way to shake this up would be to trade a star player like Declan's guy, Fiala. But I'm not convinced they're going to do that. I could say, I wouldn't be absolutely shocked, but I'd be surprised. But signing guys, you know, you just can't go out and sign guys if this cap is going to stay flat for as long as we fear it's going to. That's going to become a problem because you've got to pay potentially Fiala. You've got to pay Eck for sure. You've got to pay Kaprizov. I mean, you want to pay him. You want to give him 8 years right now. Parisi might come off your books, but still might cost you against the cap. So this is going to be this is going to have to be a very creative offseason plan by Bill Guerin and the team to try and tweak this thing in a direction that can take you past the first round and hopefully like to the conference finals, if nothing else, next season.
Rain, man, thank you for coming on.
Thanks, man.
And I think he brings up an excellent point, Judd. And this goes obviously beyond the Wild. We really have had a phenomenal rookie class as you crack another little summon EPA. Good for you.
It's a Friday night.
It's a holiday weekend.
Yeah.
And I know holiday weekends in the Zolgad household, at least in the Judd, I can't speak for Don. But I know in the Judd Zolgad household, holiday weekends don't really exist. You know, if there's things going on, things are going on, and we're going to cover that, and we're going
to
rock it.
I got to get to Target Field, baby. That's what
right,
I got to
do. Yeah, you know, and, you know, Stella might have a disagreement on how that works.
Oh, we don't get along. We're not talking right now. So, Stella and I aren't talking.
So Stella's your Zach Breeze right now, huh? Like, Stella
she's mad. I scratched her. I scratched her.
But then she performs when you didn't expect her to perform.
Oh, she shows up. Yeah.
Yep, she shows up. And then Stella's like, well, what the hell, Judd?
Yeah. No, and we go back and forth.
Yep. And, you know,
it's a contentious relationship.
I don't want to get into the Zolgad and Stella relationship either. And I know
we're going to keep that internal. We're going to keep that in the room.
That's an internal conversation.
It stays in this room.
We won't have to do that. But he brings up an excellent point that Anthony Edwards, Justin Jefferson, Kirill Kaprizov, even, you know, how much you and myself and Phil have ripped the Twins. Alex Kirilloff, we want to see Nick Gordon. Johan Duran in AAA is Trevor Larnach. There's plenty of, like, that is honestly a very excellent point. And we should be on-air production meeting. I'm sure that'll be a discussion as we go on.
We've
to
talked
Mackie
about
Judd,
it.
Which
are
we
you
can
kidding?
Do. And we have. We have. No, we have, Judd. We
Kaprizov and Ant and Jefferson. I mean, these guys are marvelous. No, the future knock on wood, because this is Minnesota sports, looks pretty damn good.
Totally, man.
And I love watch. I mean, those three players that I just named, they're so much fun to watch. So yeah. But Kaprizov is the number. If I had to list 3 to 5 reasons why I feel good about the Wild, and there was a long time that I didn't, Kaprizov is definitely atop that list. Like, I like the fact that the goaltending is better. I like the fact that the blue line is solid. I like all of those things. But if they didn't have Kaprizov, I'd still be like, you're lacking that guy. And they're still lacking some things. But it makes your life much simpler when you're starting off point, at least, going into making moves, is you have a superstar.
Right. Let's keep rolling on here on Wild Vent Line. Let's roll to our guy Alex here. Alex, what's up, man? You got us okay. You're on Wild Vent Line.
I think he's frozen.
Alex, got us okay. Hold on. We'll pause and we'll bring someone else. Let's bring our dude Ryan on. Ryan, you're on a late substitution here. You're on Wild Ventline. How you doing, man? Great stash, great hat, great get up, man. Look at
that's
you.
That's a Lanny McDonald stash,
yeah, you're
dude.
Ready to go.
That looks like Lanny McDonald.
Little
that's
premium
great.
Grain belt too. What are you sipping on over there? Oh, I saw it. I saw it. Hey, Ryan, by the way, your mic is muted. You just got to unmute your microphone on stream on our website right now, and then you'll
good
be
good. Good.
There, you
good.
There he good. Is. There
awesome.
He is.
Awesome.
So I first wanted to come on here and talk about Greenway and how disappointed I was in him again. And this basically, in my mind, sealed his fate on leaving the Wild tonight.
I think you're right.
As we knew that Garen had that heart-to-heart with him last offseason and said you have to be physical during these playoff games, you got to use that body. And again, you let Patsy skate right through the slot, open one-on-one with Talbot. Talbot had no shot. And then you guys started talking about Parisi. And I agree with you guys there. We saw him play his last game with the Wild tonight. And we need one more or two more centers at least to be able to compete here on the top level. And hopefully Rossi can be a guy like that. But I think we need to trade Greenway, maybe one or two of our first round picks this year, and try to get a second line or top line center. That's the only way we'll be able to move it up one more notch, I believe.
Ryan.
I agree. Great stuff, Ryan.
Excellent call, dude. Yeah, no, if they can get the first or second line center, right, Judd? I mean, that's what you and I have been talking about for the longest time.
I don't think they're going to get two, though. I think they're going to have to rely on Rossi. I think Rossi is, and this might not work, I don't know for sure, because as an earlier person pointed out in the show, his layoff has been so extensive. I don't think you're going to get two. I don't think you can afford two, Declan.
Right.
I think you're going to try and get one. But, you know, I just urge people to keep in mind the salary cap's not moving. So, like, if you want to go out and sign a guy, you just, you know, that you're parting with Parisi is going to cost you.
Yeah.
And I just don't, see any way, especially after the comment that you just read. But before that, I don't see it any way on God's green earth he's back. Do you?
No, man, I really don't. I think it's a buyout. Our friend Darren Doogie Wolfson joined us a couple weeks ago on our Scoop podcast. He just suddenly dropped that it's a buyout. And by the way, just so you know, that Zach Parise's contract, has 4 years remaining after this year. So that means the buyout is eight years that you owe Zach Parise money.
Yep.
8 years. And how that staggers out, off the top of my head, and I did this on Cap Friendly. Anyone can go to this, by the way. Go to capfriendly.com. It's a great website. You can do buyout contracts and all this is. The first 2 years, you will save a decent amount of – you'll save a decent amount of cap. You will, but you'll still owe him significant – not significant, but a good amount of money against you for six of those remaining 8 years afterwards. And I don't see a situation where if they buy out Parisi – they're not going to buy out Rask. And look, I want Rask off this team just as much as anyone else. But they will not, because this team has had a tendency, Judd, to have buyouts on their books. They're not going to put two guys on there for a significant amount of years. It's one of the two. Yes, it's easy to say it's Rask because he only has 1 year left and it's a 2 year buyout.
Yep.
It's going to be Zach. Like, no one's going to take that contract. I don't see how that happens. That's just kind of how I look at it.
And Zach is going to demand out. Like, I don't see, since Dean is going to be back as coach, I don't see any way that can be repaired now. I mean, the look of that to Zach is so bad. And I think Zach was embarrassed. Like, I think he probably looked at Johansson playing or Bukestad playing and thought, what the hell? And he might have been right. I don't know. But I think Rask gets included in some type of trade.
Yeah.
They played him so damn much that if at the end of the day they were playing him because they thought he should play, Sorry, I don't get that. Bill Garrett's not Billy's not a dumb guy, friend of the show. You're not a dumb guy. I think they're gonna package Rask or put him in a package. So yep. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if I think we're gonna be underwhelmed a little bit by the center that they get, but I think it'll probably be a decent player. But I think they would try and throw Rask into that deal as just hey, take this guy. He can play center too. So we'll see. It's going to be really interesting.
Isn't it sad, Judd, that it's honestly significantly more likely that someone takes a trade for Victor Rask than it is Zach Parise?
Well, yeah, because I don't want the contract.
Right. Someone's going to take the bait.
Rask doesn't. He's not a problem to take.
Yeah.
And I mean, I can sit him if I don't like him. Zach's contract is the problem. The league has banned those contracts, Declan.
Yep.
So, I mean, in the last CBA, they looked at those 13-year matching deals, and there were guys beyond Parise and Suter that got those contracts, and they banned them for a reason. It's bad for teams. You never give out 13-year contracts.
Right.
I digress.
Let's keep,
go ahead.
Let's keep rolling on Wild Vent Line. Alex, let's try this one more time. Hey, if you're listening, by the way, I can't get you on the screen right now. If you're not connected to Wi-Fi, maybe try to get on your Wi-Fi, and it will help out a long way. In the meantime, I'm going to go with my dude, Mo, a first-time caller here. Mo, what's good, dude?
Welcome to Wild Vent Line. I know this may be a dumb question, but why was Eric Staal traded? Because I definitely think he would have played better than Victor Rask. I mean, I think anyone could have played better than Victor Rask, but yeah, I just don't know why he was traded. Like, he put up decent points last season.
Well, I think on the ice, but this doesn't make a ton of sense because Rask has the same problem. Mm-hmm. Eric had slowed down a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can come back at me and be like, well, Judd, Victor Rask ain't exactly Gretzky out there skating. And you're right. I honestly think the Staal trade had a lot to do with Guerin's desire to change the dynamic in that room.
Mm-hmm.
Staal had been, a captain at one time? With the Hurricanes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was a veteran guy, and he was a guy who I think is a good person, but I think he was very comfortable here. And mm-hmm. the Wild had a lot of those guys who were like, I won't be traded. Yeah. I'll be here forever. Mm-hmm. I think Eric Staal was moved more for behind the scenes, and this doesn't make him like a bad divisive guy.
Yeah.
But Bill Guerin wanted to wake people up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Eric Staal liked it and was comfortable. And I think Eric thought my career is going to end when I decide with the Wild. And Bill Guerin's like, no, that's not how this works. So the trades that Paul Fenton started and Guerin continued, I think had more to do a lot of times with the personalities and his desire to shake things up in the room than it did with actual on-ice production.
Okay.
Yeah, Mo, I think same thing. Like, is Eric Staal right now a better player than Ryan Johansson is on the ice? 100%. I think that's pretty clear. We've seen the evidence on the ice, and I believe Staal got injured too, and he's out for the postseason. And he got traded to Montreal.
Yeah, he's playing now.
Is he playing now? But
he's still not fast.
But yeah, he's not quick, and I think it was more of an assessment of the room, and it was more of an assessment of the culture. And I hear you though, dude. I 100% hear you that. He is a better player than Ryan Johansson. He 100% is. I'll still listen to that. I hear that compliment. He is a better player than Ryan Johansson is. He is.
Mm-hmm. Ryan's quicker though.
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. they just wanted more speed too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think Guerin's first goal going into this season had a lot to do with chemistry.
Okay.
Like he wanted the chemistry, and they're going to continue to tweak that. But you don't go out and get Bonino and Cole because you think they're like great players.
Yeah.
You do it because they're stabilizing players, but mm-hmm. more importantly, they bring a dynamic to the room that this team just mm-hmm. hasn't had, you guys. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sorry, Mikko Koivu trying to tell you what's what? What have you won? Like, you've never even been to a conference final, dude.
Yeah.
So.
That's exactly mm-hmm. Hey, Mo, thank you so much for coming on, man. Appreciate you coming on. Appreciate you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That you just put up is exactly right.
And it is. You know, Bill Guerin, again, and I know I float this out there all the time and I exaggerate, but he is a friend of the show. Bill Guerin's come on the show. He's talked to you and I, Judd. He He's talked to you and I off the record before. He is honestly he's a straight shooter. I'll float that little detail out there. When he has talked to you and I off the show, he's a straight shooter. He's a hockey dude. This guy knows what he's doing, and I think that's where we really trust him. And he's a captain type. He's a guy who's accomplished a lot. He's an executive who transitioned. There's a lot of player executives who try to get into ownership, and they fail poorly, fail very badly. Bill Guerin is not one of those dudes. I truly, even in a small sample size, as we love to say, I don't think Bill Guerin's one of those guys, Judd. He knows what it takes to win, mm-hmm. and he will trade someone like Eric Staal for Johansson and look at it like, well, wait a minute, Eric Staal is a center and he could benefit this team on the ice, but is it going to benefit the team in the long term?
Right.
And I think that is the most important fact that Billy G has brought to this team. And yep. It's very underrated. It's hard to appreciate that in a box score, but it's very underappreciated.
It's absolutely key. Who's next?
Let's keep going. I think I'll get him on this time. Alex, do you have us now? Are you good to go? What's going on, man?
Oh, yeah. Yes, you boys. Hey, I'm deep behind enemy territory right here, about 15 miles from Lambeau Field. So that'll give you a shout out there.
My favorite football stadium. I will tell you that right now. I love Lambeau Field.
I don't know about that.
I don't love the Packers.
Especially in the middle of the winter.
Well, you know what?
It's a good point.
If you're in the sealed press box, you don't mind it. Or at least, but yes, if I'm in the stands, I probably would hate it.
The rest of us here in the cheap seats, we don't we don't like it.
I love it, Alex.
So I'm sitting here thinking, if we're getting rid of Parise, we're probably going to have to dump two firsts as well to get rid of him. That's what I'm thinking now.
No,
leave it up to you, boys.
That's why Deck said they'll almost certainly have to buy him out because a team won't take him. So, like, you'll just write him it's going to be expensive and it's not going to be pretty. But yeah, I don't think that you can. My guess is you can't trade him because you're not going to include things in that trade that are going to hurt you as well. So, I think he's a buyout. Unless somebody bites and is like, yeah, we saw him in the playoffs and he still looked okay, then there's a possibility. But I don't think Bill Guerin's going to make any trade involving Zach that compromises the franchise.
Well, Nashville's made stupid moves before. Maybe they'll make another one.
It's true.
David Alex, Poyle, never.
Yeah. Alex, a great point.
Thanks, Alex.
Thanks for coming on Wild Vent Line, man.
No.
Yeah. I don't think that they'd have to attach both. I mean, well, Judd, let me throw this one out there. Then again, quote unquote, reckless speculations we love to do on Score North. If it's one first round pick and you don't have to be attached to the buyout, does that make you more intrigued to do it?
I'm not giving up a first round. So like you're saying, attach a first round pick to Zach to trade,
and then you don't have to worry about a buyout for 8 years, though, Judd. Does that entice you at all?
I don't think I'm giving up a first round pick.
Because Pittsburgh,
I'll throw you a draft pick.
So I know my math right now.
But you still have to pay it off. Like it's not going to be a clean divorce no matter what.
Yeah. So I believe Pittsburgh's locked into the 21st pick. So the Minnesota Wild own the 21st pick. Now that the Wild are eliminated, I believe they will probably have, I think at worst, the 24th, 25th. So basically the Wild will have two draft picks in this upcoming draft within five selections of one another. However you want to quantify, if it's that's 21 to 25,
sure.
22 to 26, however that it is, they'll have two draft picks. I don't like the idea of attaching a first round pick to get
There's no way I'm doing that. I'm not trading a first round pick.
I'm curious. I'm just saying it's not a non-starter for me. It's not a non-starter for me is how I look at it.
It is for me.
It is for you.
Yeah, okay. Right. I'll buy him out. Okay. I think that's the answer. I don't like it, but I think that and look, if I could trade him and I could throw in a third round pick or something,
sure.
Yeah, I would definitely. Right. But I've got two first round picks. That's my future. I'm not going to solve a problem by creating a bigger problem. If that makes sense.
Let's keep rolling here. Let's go to our dude Zach. Zach, what's good, dude? You got that determination shirt on. You got the flow rocking.
Yeah.
How you doing? Welcome to Wild Vent Line.
What's good, man? Yeah, went to game four. Rough loss.
Oh, nice. Nice pump.
Yeah, man. Sorry, it was a rough loss, but it must have been a cool experience at least to be there, right?
It was pretty cool. I will say, because my opinion is going to be roasted in the comments. Judd, you're not going to like it. But I'll start out with this. Fiala needs to clean up his passing. Like, he's a great player. My girlfriend will stop watching Minnesota Wild hockey if he's traded, like 100%.
I might stop watching, Zach. I might stop watching.
I don't blame you. I mean, he's amazing when he puts it on, but then you see him like do blind behind the back passes, or you're in the third period, you're down by, you know, two goals, and you try and put the puck through the guy's legs. Don't be fancy. Just get it in the zone first. Don't do that in the middle of the ice. What are you doing? You know. But my unpopular opinion is that I love Talbin during the playoffs or during the regular season, but during the playoffs, he was not what he was in the regular season. And I'm not basing it off of tonight's game. Tonight's game, I actually thought he was maybe a little bit better than he has been a couple of the few. I thought the first two games, he was amazing. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable.
He won game one.
Yep.
And I 100% agree with that. And I don't like to blame goalies for losses ever, you know. But the kid, one of the kids I went to the game with was a goalie. He was in juniors and then, you know, had a pretty good chance. He played with Kyle Rau, actually. And then he got in a really bad motorcycle accident and wasn't able to continue in his career.
Sure.
But that being said, I can't tell you how bad he was fuming. The game prior to that, game three, Robin led a glove side goal.
Mm-hmm.
And then he did it again, game four. If you watch other goalies around the league, they are not letting those easy glove. You have to save those pucks. And the reason that I think that Talbin kind of fell off, I don't know if it was the pressure or what it was, you can't save the puck if you're looking over here and it just happens to hit you in the chest. There was multiple times, and if you go back and watch the games, that Talbin was looking. It happened in this game. Talbin was looking up in the net, and the puck's in his legs. I mean, I don't know if it was the pressure and he was nervous, but I did not think that Talbin played this series as well as he played in the regular season.
Yeah, I'll jump in there, judges, for a second. Look, he had two shutouts. I think, so I'm guessing you saw some Devan Dubnyk playoff starts, right? Like you definitely saw that. Was it more comfortable watching Talbot, or was it at the
same? Yeah,
like how do you feel watching it compared to like what you saw from Dubnyk in previous playoff eras?
The difference is the confidence going into the game. What can and do, but I don't know. He slept weird and his neck was sore. But there's multiple times where I saw Cam looking over here, and the puck was coming around the other side of the net. You have to be ready, and thank God. We have an unbelievable group that are willing to sacrifice the body and get in front of those pucks. And I think you have to contribute a lot of those shots that were saved to, you know, our defensive men and offensive men. I mean, Kaprizov, I mean, right. You know, your star players getting down on the ice trying to save those pucks. And anybody that says that Kaprizov, you know, had an off night, he wasn't like he was before, but that's because they were on him so much. But Kaprizov plays a 100-foot game. Like, he plays the entire ice.
He plays the entire ice, yep.
Totally. I mean, he back, more than back checks.
Yeah, I can't blame Cam because, like, tonight in the first period, he could have given up five goals. He gave up one. He rebound control-wise did a pretty good job. He won games one and five and played great in game two. I will say this again. The thing that disappointed me the most about this series was actually not tonight. It was the second and third period in game three and the entire game four. I don't understand that from a team standpoint. They didn't play well, and that's not excusable to me. But as a guy who has seen questionable goaltending, which we definitely did in the playoffs with Dubnyk, the Talbot factor to me would be way down the list. And in fact, I give him credit. Like, he might have not been perfect at times, and I know the glove side goal that you're talking about that he allowed at the X, and that was not an ideal goal, but he also made so many big saves for this team.
He did. I just get real nervous when the puck is coming around the back of the net and he's looking in the wrong direction. And it happens more often than you maybe realized, because then they shoot the puck and they were a little bit too late and Cam just happened to slide over and it hits them in the chest and they go, what an amazing save. And I'm like, he didn't even know the puck was coming. Like, he just happened to be sliding in the right direction at the right time. And like I said, I'm not blaming Talbin for losing the series, but I almost wonder, and I don't know if you would agree, do you think having him in net for that long, when you know that there's a good chance you're going to lose that game 3 or game four, that it hurt him mentally to stay in there and not throw Kakinen in and give Kakinen the experience, and for two, what was wrong with Kakinen? I mean, he played amazing the games that he played for the most part.
Cam was their guy. They were going to ride Cam. I mean, heck, I made the same point that you did. Now, I didn't have a problem with it during the playoffs, but during the season, late, like, there were times where Kapo, I thought, 1,000% should have started just to get Cam some rest because the schedule was so condensed.
Yeah.
And Dean kept putting Cam in there game after game after game. And I said to Dex a few times, this doesn't make sense. Like, play Kapo. But they were going to ride Cam in the playoffs. And if I'm the Wild, I am very happy with what I got after all the time that we saw guys like Stalock give up a weird goal and Dubnyk for sure. So thanks, Zach. Appreciate the
appreciate you
hopping on.
Thanks for coming on. Yeah, man. I'm not as harsh on Talbot as it was throughout the series. I'll say tonight was his worst performance. I don't think that's a hot take. I think tonight was his worst performance.
Well, they gave up 5 goals. But the team came out so poorly in the first period, and he was really good. The problem tonight was, again, they didn't play well. I don't think that I would pick on Talbot as a worse performance, because there were definitely games in the series where they did not play well.
Yep.
And I don't know what I mean. Look, tonight they had Brodin go down, which is a big deal. And they looked spent tonight. Like, yep. I will say that they looked done. I'm more disappointed in the two home games, games 3 and 4, because they shouldn't have been spent and they look spent. But I've seen enough bad playoff goaltending that I just can't do. I can't go there. Not on
I'm
this
with
one.
You.
No, can't
I'm with
do
you,
it.
Brother. I'm with you. Let's let's keep rolling on here. Let's go to Willie. What's good, dude? Welcome to Wild Vent Line.
Really?
What you got for us, my man?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. I know I introduced a friend to your Score North a little bit ago, but Clark, my buddy here.
That's Clark. Yeah, Clark. Clark,
what's up, Clark?
Man, how are you? Good to
see
you guys.
You're
again.
Awesome. You guys are great.
We thought out our talking points this time, so we've got all of the good points.
Even better.
Even better, dudes.
You guys are pros. Go shoot.
All right,
let's hear the talking points.
First of all, we want to talk about the second period and how much the narrative of the story went, as far as, you know, the long change for the Wild, and how much of a problem that, you know, that narrative extended on through the series. Unbelievably well. I mean, I think it was just crazy how the they kept talking about how the long change kept on bothering the Wild, like it was getting on them. What's your thoughts on that?
My thought is this: the Golden Knights, top to bottom, are a more skilled team. They're a better team, and their speed, I think, in second periods with the long change for both teams definitely helped the Golden Knights. And the Wild had to find ways to combat that. And at times they did, but for way too much of the time, they didn't. So I really think this series came down to, at times, the fact that if the Wild didn't have a way to slow the Golden Knights down, they had guys who could skate with them, but not a team, if that makes sense. Like Kaprizov, Fiala, there are certain guys on this team that can skate with the Golden Knights best and can play with them. Unfortunately for the Wild, they also have a lot of guys that aren't fast. I mean, when Victor Rask, I'll go back to this, but when Victor Rask is playing an essential role, right? Like, Victor Rask is a really important position, playing a really important position on your team on a really important line. That makes it tough. That makes it tough. How many chances in this series did Victor Rask have to bury pucks that a really more skilled center would bury. Like tonight alone, he had like two or three chances. He loses the puck off his stick. He is, if you have to play him, he's a fourth line guy. And he was playing with Kaprizov and Zuccarello on what I think, no question, is your most skilled line. So that speaks volumes to the skill. And the Golden Knights just have more speed.
Yeah, that's definitely a point to make there. But I heard a take earlier in the show about how the Wild, they didn't earn a game seven. I think that they earned a game seven, as far as they hung with the Knights through the regular season, and they hung with the Knights in this series for the most part. We're talking about second periods where they're lethargic, they come out, not really doing so hot, but I felt like they definitely earned a game seven. But as far as my next point is how much are you going to pay Kirill Kaprizov, and for what contract are we talking about here? What, in your terms,
does he want? I can max him out now because of the rules in the CBA at 8 years. I am going to him, if I'm Bill Guerin, my first thing, right? Like my to-do list, 1, 2, and 3 are Kirill Kaprizov, 8-year deal. And I think you have to
80.
I think you have to look at maxing him out because he's 24. He's 24. Here's the last thing that I want. Do you want to do like a bridge deal? That will literally walk him into free agency. I don't want to do that. And I think he's going to want to max out, and I think he's worth it.
Okay. Like I can understand where you come from there. And I'm not necessarily too well informed on the contract situation with most of the Wild players, whether we got a 2-year or 3-year window. Can't really speak to that, but we got burned by those Suter and Parise contracts, and I understand that they're null and void as far as they're not available now.
Right.
So long term deals. I'd be interested to see maybe a $9 million, 3 to 4 year deal, and then we can probably extend. We got 3 to 4 years to see how it develops. What goes on, although he had a great season.
He's developed though. He's 24, so he's sort of there. Right. At 18, it's different than 24.
Exactly. And we can see how our core, as far as our core goes, we got, Jordan Greenway, Kevin Fiala, Kaprizov, and then all of them, all the younger players. But, final take, thanks guys. You brought all us Minnesota fans together in a great portion here, and we really appreciate you. So,
hey, Willie, thank you so much. And
long-time listener.
Awesome. Willie, Clark, appreciate you both, dudes. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks,
appreciate
guys.
Bye,
fellas.
Bye.
Hey, Clark, thank you, man.
Great hair.
And
I love
great
Clark.
Hair, great hair. And look, hair recognizes hair, Like,
yeah,
I love that you called up Liam.
You've got a good do. He's got a better
do.
I'm
not nothing on Clark's level.
Clark's got the do. Clark's got it, man. He's
like,
got the official do of
Clark ain't playing.
Wild Ventline.
Clark knows how to play a game here, and I feel you. So
yeah, he's good.
Big fan of him. Big fan of him. Big fan of all these young Wild fans who are joining us for the first time on Score North. It's really cool, by the way. We don't really thump our chest too much, but I think it's really awesome that we've been able to discover a lot of new fans who have come on our show and been able to vent with some Wild frustrations and also triumphs. That's what we're here for at Score North. We want to be able to talk to you guys. We want to be able to interact with you all. That's what we're trying to do here at Score. We're not trying to be anyone else. We want to be Score North, and we want to be interactive with you guys. That's what it's all about. Judd, let's wrap up one more caller here. You ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's bring on our dude. He's been on every game of the series. Our main man, Jake, with his Mario poster and his Kirill Kaprizov
Jake
jersey.
I should have stuck with the North Stars jersey. That's the game, I think, game five jersey I wore and went
Jake,
away from it.
Jake, you're at fault. This loss
know,
is on you. This
know,
loss is all
fine.
On you. Now
it's
we
fine.
Found out.
I can take. I mean, I would go to Victor Rask and his horrible face-off stuff, but I think you're right. I think my jersey choice is what it came down to.
By the way, the face-offs in this series were awful.
Well, I think that just goes back to the Wild's biggest fault right now is down the middle center. They don't have a top two center. They don't have a top one. They don't have a top two. Victor Rask is playing that. Victor Rask belongs in the league. Trust me. You can read through my text chains. I have been trashing him all season, but he still belongs on a roster. I think you said it two callers ago. He's a fourth line center.
Yeah.
And we're playing him with Kaprizov. That's our problem.
Yep.
I mean, that's number one that needs to be addressed in the offseason. This game, I didn't hate it. I hated how we started. Sloppy.
Yes.
I think it was our sloppiest game in the last 15 games, the way we started it.
It was bad start.
It was terrible. Lucky to get out of that first period 1-1. Second period was the second period. We know how those have gone. And then I think we just kind of lost our mojo. Losing Brodin early definitely hurt. Luckily, he's got the whole offseason now to recuperate.
Concussion, do we think, or a shoulder? I couldn't tell.
Shoulder or ribs, I thought.
Okay.
One of the two.
I couldn't tell.
Initially, I thought it was his wrist because it looked like he kind of fell off funny, but then they showed like 3 or 4 replays and it looked like shoulder or maybe his ribs. I don't know. I think the most interesting thing to look at is what we're going to do in the offseason. Eichel's the sexy name going around. You guys were negative on him really early in this conversation. I don't know his history. Is he not a good locker room guy? Is that the knock on him?
There's questions about that. And here's the problem. And here's why I don't know what Guerin would give up for him. And he'll definitely like vet through it and find out. I mean, Bill's going to make phone calls and he probably knows now. But the question in Buffalo with Eichel is this. Is Eichel part of the problem or is the problem of Buffalo that Eichel has to escape and he'll be fine? But the good thing is you aren't going to, because I mean the price for him, Declan's brother's exactly right. It would be Fiala. It would be a draft pick. It would be another player. So you're not going to make that trade or even can entertain that trade unless you know exactly what you're doing.
Yeah.
I just don't think Bill Guerin would give up. I mean, that would cost you so much. I don't see it happening here. I think he'll go somewhere, but not here.
Yeah. He'll definitely go somewhere. Yeah.
Jake, the other name to watch, and I know we've gotten tweets and comments about this too, and this one's more obtainable, is Sam Reinhart.
Yeah, that was my next question, is if not Eichel, who do you guys think is the option?
Sam Reinhart is more obtainable. Sam Reinhart isn't on the same level as Jack Eichel, but I can tell you right now, he ain't worth Fiala. He's probably worth one of your first round picks and something of a sweetener to get
that makes
here.
More sense. I can see that.
And we've gotten comments on that. Honestly, I'd rather take the stab that Sam Reinhart is the guy you want to bring in over mortgaging the farm over Jack Eichel. I'm on your side too, dude. That I'm on the Jack Eichel bandwagon. I kind of put
but
all
I love
the
price.
Yeah, exactly. And the price is something that is worth of a conversation, but it's Jack Eichel, dude.
Yeah.
So if he makes you better, I'm all for it. And that's where Bill Guerin and Dean Evason, even though, you know, Judd and Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad and I, we always love to play armchair GM. It's so fun to play armchair GM. Even
it
you,
is,
Jake.
Yeah.
Like, it's fun to play armchair GM, right? It's fun to, like, make up trades and make up situations. But they also, like, someone like Bill Guerin is not a BSer.
Yeah.
So if he knows that what it takes to win and what he takes to have the culture, I trust his X's and O's, what he's dotting to make that happen.
Yeah.
So I get it if Jack Eichel isn't it.
Yeah, and it's funny. I got in a conversation with some Buffalo fans earlier this year, and they were like, we'll take Kaprizov, and we'll take Boldy. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm sure you would, but that's
right.
Not going to happen. Like,
that's not, but I mean, they would probably ask for a draft pick, Fiala, and Boldy is my guess. And I'm just not doing
that. I thought the same exact thing.
And I'm not doing that trade. No. I'm sorry. I'm just not. I need a guy. But, I mean, if I am wrong on that and Eichel's a problem or he does not play as well as I expect. And, I mean, keep in mind, the Sabres are a dumpster fire, but Jack Eichel's never been to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right.
So, well, like, there's no track record there.
If you're wrong on that trade, then now you're just burning 4 years of Kaprizov. You know what I mean? This isn't the time to make a big risk and put Kaprizov in a dumpster fire. and waste mm-hmm. his whole career there. So exactly. I think it'll be interesting what they do. I think hopefully Rossi can be plugged into number two and they can find a guy that's maybe a number two, but potentially a number one in the right situation, which.
Well, it's weird too, though, because right now they consider, we don't consider this to be the top line, but they consider Ek to be a one. And like Ek is closer to a one than I thought possible, but he's ideally a two.
Yeah.
And it seems like he is not going to, it seems like he's going to be with Foligno for sure. But keep in mind, Greenway might be gone now.
I think Greenway should be gone, honestly.
Okay, so what's that line then? I mean, right. Could you put Kaprizov? Could you put Kaprizov on that line for a while? Because I mean, but then could you put Zuccarello? Could you put Foligno with somebody else and put Zuccarello and Kaprizov and Ek? There seems to probably be more experimentation with Ek's role than they did this year. And you'll have a complete training camp now. Like you'll have more time to mix and match things.
I think if Greenway is gone, there's two dozen guys in the NHL you can find to plug into that role to play with Ek and Greenway. I don't think you have to break up those two, maybe. But I don't know.
So Jake, outside of like Jack Eichel, is there like anyone else like you're looking at that like you'd love the Wild to go after?
Ryan Nugent-Hopkins.
Back in my days in my 20s, I was so plugged into the NHL I could answer that question. That's my question was for you guys or who else besides Eichel. I don't follow the NHL closely enough to know what other teams are doing and guys, so I can't answer that. I wish I could.
The free agent list stinks.
But
does it really?
At the same time, Jake, like you're looking for some impact forward, right?
Yeah.
Like whether it's a center, like center preferred. Yep. But like a forward that can make the team to go over the top to make them compete with Vegas and compete with Colorado, right? Like that's the goal, dude.
Well, this team has never had a true center and never had a franchise goalie. I would love to find an answer for maybe Rossi's that guy. Who knows? But and then that's the other thing I was gonna say in the draft. Maybe try to find a goalie that we can sit on for 6-7 years because we've never really had. I mean, Fernandez was okay back in the day. He had his streaks. We've always had goalies that we hit. For like a 2-year hot period, Rolison kind of got there, but we've never had that guy, that franchise
guy. I think if you're gonna upgrade a goalie, that's sort of a last piece if you don't like
it. Is
what you have. I'm telling you, if I'm Garen, the things that I'm eyeballing the most are center for sure. You have 100%. To.
You have
and
to.
So because I am thinking opening night of 2021-22, Ek is gonna be on my depth chart at center. Rossi is going to probably be my third line guy. And this is another tough one, but I'm telling you, if you watched this series, I want a big defenseman.
Yeah. I agree.
Like Cole is big, but he's older and slow and he's a veteran. But I mean, if you think about that, if you could get a top four defenseman who's actually can
move
bang and move the puck.
Yeah.
That's very attractive. That's a playoff type player.
Yeah. I guess my last question, you read that Parisi quote. What do you guys think he's referencing when he says these side games?
He's pissed.
Oh, I know he's pissed, but when he says these side games of him getting benched, he got benched because Strum outplayed you. Like you got played out of your role. There's no side game there.
He doesn't see it that way.
No,
he does, Jake, and he never will. He probably
Jake, doesn't. You're 100% right, dude. No, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. He feels he got screwed.
He's tone deaf. He's tone deaf. He's tone deaf. But, I have no problem saying he's effing tone deaf. Yeah. But, so tone deaf.
But players like him don't see it. It's why guys don't retire.
Yeah.
It's why guys keep playing. It's why I demand that certain players call it quits because it makes me really sad to see them still be like, well, I'm a top six guy. It's like, dude, you're not a top six guy.
No.
And I'm telling you, the key thing is if you think that Zach Parise would have had the game seven that he did if he had played in this entire series, you're crazy. He wouldn't have.
You're 100% right. He played with a chip on his shoulder, and that's the only reason he played the way he played.
And he was fresh. He wasn't tired.
And look, by the way, like last point with you, Jake, here, like I'm glad he scored a goal. Like, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe he has enough stock built up where we can get more than a Zamboni driver.
Awesome. I have so many things when I have watched this series that I'm not going to look back on and like, oh, I'm so happy Zach scored a game seven goal.
Yeah.
That is like so far down the list of what I'm trying to, like what I want this team to accomplish, man.
Yeah.
Nope. Jake, hey, man.
Hey, love
calls.
It. Good
thank
season.
Thank you for coming
on. Look forward to next season.
Hey, man, thank you so much for supporting Score North Judge Hockey Show. Thank you for coming on, dude.
You're awesome.
Appreciate
Great
you.
Stuff.
Yeah, Judd, I just really ruffles my feathers.
He won't
just
be back. Don't worry about it. He's not going to be back.
And look, we are 90 plus minutes in. We are in the thick of it here. I think we got maybe one more caller left before we wrap up.
I like it.
I will say, Judd, I disagree with you on what you said with Jake on looking for one more big defenseman. Like I guess so. Maybe I'm taking it out of context. So talk me off the ledge. But looking for one more big defenseman is like priority 3 or 4 on my off-season checklist. Like it's not something that I'm looking at that I want to accomplish right away. Does that make sense? Like
yes. But a big defenseman would be a playoff addition. Like I think you need to look at what you're doing for this team just as far as needs. Like center is a need, and it's a need for the regular season and playoffs. But a big defenseman who could assert himself would be a really good playoff addition. And I'm talking about making moves that can eventually get you to a Stanley Cup. I think this team at wing is in pretty good shape.
Yep.
Unless they trade your guy, Fiala. But if they don't, I think they're in good shape. They need, I think realistically you can get a center. I don't think that you can go out and get two. Now you could, yes, you could sign a fringe guy, but I'm saying as far as a name that you think, oh, plug and play.
Dylan Larkin, right?
Dylan Larkin, as Tanner says. Yes, exactly right. So I think that's an option. But unlike Jake, I don't think goaltender is a need. Like I think that they've got two that can play right now that are absolutely fine. Yep. Talbot, as I told you, I will defend him. I think in this series he was outstanding. Well. He played really well. So a big defenseman to me would be, if I can only get one center, he would probably be my second option if I can do it. But again, those guys are hard to find.
Yep. All right, let's go one more call here. It's up north hockey. What's good, brother? How are you? Welcome to Wild Bentley. You're going to wrap things up. How you doing?
Declan Judd, how's it going?
Good, man. How are you? Where are you calling from?
Kelly or Minnesota.
So, help me out. What is that? Like, what is the most nearest city from where you're at?
Well, do you know the lake, Red Lake?
I do know Red Lake. Yep, I know Red Lake.
So it's near there. It's actually Shotley, Minnesota. It's like.
So wasn't it, dude? Like, because I saw some weather temps. What was the temperature when you woke up? Because I saw we were in some teenage like temperatures yesterday. Was it pretty bleeping cold when you woke up yesterday?
It's probably 40, I would say.
Oh, was it 4? Oh, that's nothing. Not I heard up north in some places were like in the teens yesterday morning when they woke up.
It was snowing some places.
Yeah.
No, it was probably 35, 40.
Oh, that's golden, yeah. Right? Like you were in shorts in that weather.
But anyways, I was going to say, can we get a center? I mean, we can't win a faceoff.
Yeah, this is true. They need to. They need to, my man. Hartman on the draw that resulted in the Hag goal could not have been beaten cleaner.
Yeah.
Carlson absolutely whooped him. That puck was back at the point before, you know, like 1 second. Hartman didn't tie it up. He did nothing. So, yes, I guarantee you what you just said is priority 1.
Yeah. I mean, I was watching the game. I'm at my shack right now up at Red Lake. Like I said, we have Wi-Fi here and we have the game on, but I swear to God, I was watching the game. I swear to God, I did not see the Wild win one faceoff. You know, I was looking at some points in the game, but I swear to God, I did not see the Wild win one faceoff, maybe one or two, but that's it.
Yeah, in fact, hold on a second here. If you got 1 second, I've got the stat because it's so the Wild won. The Wild actually had the faceoff advantage in the first period. That might have been the first time in a period. Like I've looked, they have not won faceoffs at all, and then they decisively got absolutely smoked in the last two. Badly. No, they have to. They have to be able to win, especially defensive zone. They need a competent center that can win faceoffs, and they don't come close right now to having that guy consistently. And I'm tired of hearing, well, Victor Rask can do it sometimes. Okay, that's great. That's fantastic. Victor Rask can't play.
No, Bill Bill Guerin has some work to do this summer. I trust him. I like what he's doing, but
yeah, man.
He needs to get a center. He needs to get a top center for this team.
Hey, real quick, dude. How did you discover Judd's Hockey Show and Score North? Is that just like something you like discovered randomly? Like, I'm just curious. How did you discover Judd's Hockey Show and Score North?
I've known Judd for a long time. I run Up North Hockey. Have you guys heard of that?
No, I haven't. That's okay. Where I was trying to plug you. Like, what is Up North Hockey?
Well, a couple of years ago, we started live streaming high school hockey games.
Cool,
Northern
dude.
Minnesota and Grand Rapids.
Nice, yeah.
Yeah.
Greenway, Hibbing, Eveleth.
Love that.
Virginia. So, yeah, I've been doing that for 2 years. I'm going to the U of M next year for journalism, so I'm looking forward to that. So
nice, awesome, dude. Man. Hell yeah, yeah, man. Good for you.
Awesome.
I remember, Judd, you retweeted one of my posts a couple of years ago. It was that Jeffers the Jaguars, the overall, or what are they called? The Jaguars?
Yeah,
Jefferson Jaguars. Yep.
Yeah.
That's the right name.
Cooperalls. Yeah, that's what I was.
Oh, thinking. Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Yes.
That was you. Those Cooperalls are great. Hill Murray had them. Jefferson.
Yep.
Burnsville. Oh, the 80s, man. The 80s were great. A lot of bad clothes and Cooperalls.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Anyways, you guys are great. I love what you guys do. I got to say one more thing.
Of course.
After game, what was it? Game 4? I said I called into KFN fan line.
Mm-hmm.
I said, this series is over after game 5. You know, we got the game 7, they lost, but it was not over after game 5. So,
no.
No, I mean.
And good for them. They came back. And
yeah,
that's my point about this team. This team is not despicable. This team is likable. Like, I think that they lost, but you don't feel hopeless. And
no.
There were a lot of years there. In what around 2015, 16, 17, where it just felt hopeless. So there's been a seismic shift in how I feel about this franchise now. And by the way, to get back to your faceoff question, the final faceoff percentages tonight, Golden Knights 66%, Wild 134%.
You weren't wrong, dude.
So you nailed it. You got to win faceoffs. You can't just excuse it and be like, oh, who cares? So thanks, man.
Yeah.
Thank appreciate
you.
It.
Hey, man. Josh, appreciate you.
Enjoy the lake.
Hey, yep. Man. Appreciate you supporting Score North. I love that. He goes on the other on the other station, then he still comes on us for game 7. Because, look, it's game 7, baby.
I know.
You can come to any other outlet you want. He says he's going to come on our show. He came on another show for game 3.
The good thing about
he's gonna come on our show for game 7. I love to hear that.
The good thing about our Ventline franchise is we start as soon as the game ends.
Yep.
Same thing with Vikings Ventline. Ooh, you don't have to wait. You don't have to wait to hear a guy like Dean Evason or Mike Zimmer spew cliches before we start. All right, so I think we're done. We appreciate you all. Thank you so much
this
for
has been so much fun.
This series has been great.
It's been awesome. You guys, everyone, seriously, continue. Hey, like, I not even to toot our own horn here, but Judd and I have been doing this for now. I mean, we've been doing Judd's Hockey Show for probably, what, Judd, 3 years now. And that was with you and myself, Lindsay Brown, who's now in Vegas. She's happy tonight. And she, I'm sure she's doing really, really well. You know, maybe she'll bring you on. Maybe this one
no,
time
she'll
bring
won't.
You on this
she brings
round.
You on. That's fine.
She texted
I'm fine
me
with
this
that.
Morning and I said, I can't, Lindsay. You know, like, Lindsay,
oh,
I know you and
phone,
I are close. And, oh, you
must have
missed that
have,
text message.
My phone
right?
must have shut off,
must
shut
have
down.
That text
something must be wrong with that.
But in all honesty, everyone, thank you so much. You know, everyone always thinks hockey is this cult sport, and it is. It is a cult sport, but everyone was supporting us, and this was a big driving force for everything we're doing here in Minnesota sports and at Score North. And thank you so much. And by the way, this is not slowing down. Just because we've been doing previews and vent lines, Judd and myself are hockey nuts. If it was up to Phil Mackey, I think, Judd, you and I would be leading hockey conversations all the GD time. So thank you.
We'll be doing plenty more.
So and there will be. There'll be.
Awesome. You know why? Because there's trades to make. There's trades to make. There's moves to talk about. There is going to be. This is going to be the summer of wild, reckless speculation. And Score North is the home of reckless speculation. But yes, thank you. We appreciate you watching. We appreciate you joining. I thought that the people that joined this entire series had fantastic points, were really good, were really on point. So, yes, from the bottom of our heart, we appreciate you. And I know that you tell us that you appreciate what we do, but without you, it's not possible. So thank you.
No, it's seriously, guys, it's so cool that look, the Vikings are kings in this town, and that's fine, but the fact we had so many people come on here want to bitch about Victor Rask or want to talk about Cam Talbot or want to talk about Kevin Fiala or even my dumb brother Liam that wants to come on. I love that people want to come on and talk about Wild hockey with us. I think that's so awesome because that is us pushing a cool thing into perspective. So thank you. Seriously, thank you so, so, so much. I'm not going to get too much emotional about it otherwise.
Yeah, don't start crying.
Let's sign off. Yep, let's sign off. Should I say my magic words?
Yes. Thank you very much, Dex.
I'll say my magic words. Pass, shoot, score.